When people lecture me about how terrible winters are, I find it's largely because they don't enjoy any outdoor winter activities. For us, a neighbor's frozen pond provides hours of entertainment for skating, socializing, and hockey. It's not a large pond, somewhat kidney-shaped and narrow on one end, but large enough for a good workout over a couple hours of skating. When you add the time it takes to make it skatable, the shoveling and scraping, it can be a very exhausting workout. Phil, hockey nickname Super Sap, in his zeal to clear the pond one time, drove his plow truck onto its surface and ended up at the bottom. After that, we used a snowblower, but I crashed that through the ice too, ending up knee-deep in muck. We found that metal-edged snow shovels worked best. We skate up and down the length of the pond, angling our shovels just so, scraping and muscling the snow towards the pond's edge, or until it's too deep to move, then piling it along the edge in a berm, creating our puck-permeable hockey rink boards. In pursuit of better ice conditions, there were many attempts. Doug, hockey name Slug, ever tinkering, came up with a large motorized brush that scoured the ice surface, and he converted an ATV to a haphazard mini Zamboni with a water tank and spray nozzle behind the seat. These machines, however, always seem to break down. The simpler, the better. So we hauled 5-gallon containers of water on toboggans, spreading it over the worst areas. The dream of a smooth skating surface, however, was never realized unless Mother Nature provided it, which she seldom did. Usually we settled with playing on a very uneven surface, the unknown flight patterns of the puck adding to the excitement and danger of the game. The myriad cracks in the ice tested our agility, as well as our various forms of padding, both natural and artificial. This is not a game for wimps, and guest players who never returned attest to that. Once the ice is ready, we place dented metal coffee cans at both ends for goals. A snow shovel stuck in the berm upside down, mid-length of the pond, serves as the center line. Ideally, we have 6 players on the ice and try to balance the talent of the teams, though this is hard to do because one of us, Dave, also known as Fancy Feet, is far more talented than the rest of us. He's also the biggest guy, and so his teammates tend to be at the other end of those two spectrums. Our equipment consists of various pads duct taped around our bodies, though some have actual hockey gear, which they unabashedly wear. Ray, aka Laser, has gear that's totally Goodwill. He rests his bewhiskered chin on his upended hockey stick at mid-ice, a common pose, as he waits for the action to begin. Dwayne's the hot shot, short of stature, teased that his skates are small enough to hang from the rearview mirror of a car. He darts around Super Sap, stealing the puck and sending him tumbling to the ice. This is accompanied with a scream, followed by loud cursing and sometimes a hockey stick flung into the woods. It's a timeout as we look for it somewhere in the fir trees. No fouls in this game, just cursing and recriminations. Someone scores a goal, the sweet sound of the coffee can hit squarely by the puck as it's sent flying, followed by several minutes of looking for the puck buried in the snow. Another timeout. Sometimes Slug's dog Rocky grabs the puck before we can, and we chase him around the pond. At times, there's a pause as we listen to a wolf howling in the distance. Ravens quirk and circle overhead, as if enjoying the spectacle or sensing a debilitating injury. We have a pep squad, wrapped in wool and down, with toques on heads and mittens on hands. They seem, however, to laugh more than cheer, and head off to the house as the cold becomes a bit much, the language too coarse, or the action stale. That's where we'll head when we're spent or Duane leaves early, as he is wont to do. The rest of us take off our skates and hustle to the house before wet clothing turns to ice. In the warm kitchen, we gather around the table and talk about the game, the cheap shots at the goal or each other, and our new aches and pains. These are forgotten, however, thanks to vitamin B, beer, and the passing of a box of spicy Cheez-Its. Someone upends the box, finishing off the powdery residue, the glumac, as it's come to be called. There's more to drink and eat, and our conversation devolves to a collective ninth-grade sense of humor. At the end of the season, sometime in March, when there's more thaw than freezing, and before maple syrup season begins in earnest, we hold our annual awards banquet. Everyone receives some memento, a glittery puck, a cartoon likeness by Fancy Feet or Slug, a photo of some action shot, or one of us embarrassingly splayed out on the ice. With so many laughs and good times, the winter passes far too quickly. This feature is dedicated to Dr. Phil Cook, a.k.a. Super Sap, friend and neighbor, research chemist at the EPA, tireless advocate for the planet, and especially for Lake Superior, maple syruper, and pond hockey enthusiast. Phil died in November of 2013.